Welcome to the Hot Rod Hangout Podcast.
Whoop whoop.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Ashley.
And tonight is episode 21.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to bang them out. Trying to get to 100 by the year mark.
Oh, yeah. And we have, we're starting to come up with some exciting ideas for that.
Yes.
So that'll be good.
Yes. We been racking our brains and definitely going to be bigger than we anticipated. Thank y'all again for all the love and support.
Oh, yes.
Reaching out, sharing stories. Again, if you got them stories and you want to come talk cars with us, shoot me a message. Would love to have everyone on that we can have on. And it's all about getting people's stories out and connecting people. Love talking cars.
Yep. Even if you're, the what is that guy down the street? And I just passed his house twice with the slammed mini trucks. I mean, he's a one-man show at working out of a one-car garage. I do like the setup of his little garage. He had his garage door open, working on the bed of the mini truck. And up on the back wall, he had a big, big flat screen TV playing something on there. It was just a pass by, but
no, you got to have entertainment while you're out there.
Yeah,
especially when you're doing mundane stuff. You know, it's nice to have background noise, whether it be a radio or YouTubes.
Yeah, we
eventually we'll have stuff for you to put on your TV in your garage on the YouTube.
Yes, eventually we're gonna get there one step at a time.
Even though I'm part of the younger generation, technology still passes me by. But we're learning every day, trying to get better. We'll get a shout out to Swap It Fast. Yes. You know, thank y'all for all the love and support that you've showed us.
Mm-hmm.
And look forward to, if I don't see you before then, look forward to catching up with y'all in Moultrie.
Yeah. Well, I think that'll honestly be the next time, because we're booked the next couple weekends.
Yeah.
And then the next Sumter meet is technically the same weekend as Moultrie.
Yeah. I know he's got a couple guys that were interested in coming on, so might be able to work some of them in.
There we go.
So you don't have to just listen to my voice every Thursday. We're going to try to get more guests on because it seems to be it's a easier conversation.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit. And you get to learn about people and, you know, how they come up. And, you know, we mainly focus on pre-65 stuff. But, mm-hmm. you know, if you like the newer stuff, you know, it's all cars.
Yep.
Or bikes. I mean, if you're into bikes, and, you know, choppers, old school, new school, whatever, you know.
I mean, we kind of drizzle in a little bit of bikes here and there anyway.
I still have mine.
Which we still need to bring.
We still need to get home. It over here.
Yeah.
But, kind of that time period kind of comes in waves. You know, my dad rode for a long time and then he got off for a little while and then come back to it. And so not saying I'll never have the passion, but I have lost a little bit of the passion to ride.
Yeah.
Traffic patterns. Florida isn't getting any less populated by the day.
No, it's not.
They're putting roundabouts now. Ew. I never thought that there would be roundabouts.
I don't like roundabouts. People don't know how to use them half the time. That's
the problem. People that don't know how to drive in them.
Yeah.
Or panic and slam on their brakes when you could go.
I don't know how many people I've yelled at in roundabouts. Of course, I'm in my car with the windows rolled up, but
I about run over somebody today at stopping in my truck coming home, stopping at a flashing yellow light.
Are you serious?
Slammed on his brakes.
What?
Luckily, I was turning, so I was slowing down, but if I'd have been going straight, he'd have ate ranch hand.
Oh my gosh, people, come on. You know, oh boy.
But so Swap It Fast.
Yes.
You know, get on there. Like I said, in the live, you know, the more buyers we get on there, the more vendors will want to be on. The more vendors we get on, the more buyers will want to be on. And it'll grow. And also, you know, the more vendors and the more buyers that get on there, the more availability. Yeah. You know, because I know from when we were doing the motorcycle swap meet, you know, there was a couple guys that sold some of the stuff that we sold. Mm. You know, we mainly dealt in, you know, good quality takeoff parts.
Yeah.
And there was a couple guys out there that would have some of that. But there was also guys that had old stuff. There was guys that had newer stuff. There was guys that, you know, they only did bagger stuff. They did body work. We stayed away from body work because one wrong move and yep. that shiny painted body panel is no longer shiny or, you know.
Shiny paint causes stress.
Well, I mean, can't you know, say that enough. Baggers, I mean, other than tanks and fenders, I mean, you're dealing with fiberglass.
Yeah.
Or ABS plastic. I mean, it's durable enough to withstand normal use, mm-hmm. but... You know, something shifts in the trailer and, you know, you pack it in there and you say that ain't going nowhere and you slam the door and you hope it actually listens to you. But, yeah. you know, every time we had body panels, it was always like when you open the door, it was like, oh, please, 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 please. And you would wrap it up. And I mean, you'd take every precaution you could, but it just wasn't for us.
Yeah.
But like I said, the more vendors get on there, you know. There might be guys that specialize in stuff, and if they see a market, they see a good buyer pool, you know, they're going to want to put their stuff on there. Well, now all of a sudden you're making connections, and the one thing that I like more about swap meets than just calling somebody on the internet is you're making a connection that may be a lifelong connection.
Right.
You know, the next time you need something, you just go back to that same person and say, hey, I bought this from you 6 months ago, but mm-hmm. I need another one because my buddy saw it and he wants one. Or, you know, yeah. you know where to find it. And also, people are willing to work with you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really hard to call up Jegs and go... Hey man, I'm trying to put this together, and maybe Jegs is the wrong thing, but Advance or Napa or you know what does it fit? Well, if it doesn't fit that specific thing, they're going to tell you, oh, it doesn't fit your stuff. Well, a lot of the car culture is putting stuff on that doesn't mm-hmm. belong. I mean,
Smart, what are you putting out on? What are you putting it on rather than yeah. what do you have to make sure it fits? Because you know, how many times have we said, bang it to fit, paint it to match?
I mean, the S10, you know, you'd send, my dad would send my mom to the store. Mm. Oh, what is it? Oh, it's an S10. Okay, what motor? Well, it's a V8. They didn't come with a V8, you know, or,
yeah,
you know, even the 54, you know. Mm. Is it 3 on the tree? No, it's a 5-speed. Well, it didn't come with a 5-speed. You're right, it didn't.
Yeah.
It also didn't come with an S10 rear end, but it has one in there, you know.
Modgepodge.
But it was, you know, the guy lowered it lower than a torque tube rear end would handle. But, you know, it's all those things. And also, most vendors that you see at a swap meet, most vendors that you're going to meet, you know, they're actual car people or mm-hmm. motorcycle people or, you know, fill in your swap meet blank, you know. So they're going to understand when you say, oh, I need this and I'm trying to do this with it. Mm-hmm. And they can guide you to, oh, well, this year would work better for you. Mm-hmm. I also have one of those, you know.
Right.
Making those connections. And also, if the guy knows you're, you know, a Model A nut, he might need something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you roll up to pick up your part at the swap meet in a Model A, and the guy goes, well, hey, man, you got a set of headers, or you got a set of this, or, you know. Or, I mean, shout out, you know, Randy Jackson with the Gasser Garage. Talked to him last night, talking about Dad's talking about his steering, and you know, he pointed something out, and I'm not going to admit it on the podcast what it was, but he pointed something out, and it was like, duh. Mm-hmm. I didn't even check it.
Right.
Because it was stupid simple. Mm-hmm. Like, and a lot of times those stupid simple things are what get overlooked because mm-hmm. it can't be that.
Right.
Plugging in the trailer lights. You know, it can't be that. Well, it can.
And it's just getting another, you know, I mean, we just sent him a few pictures and mm-hmm. it was getting another set of eyes on it to be like, hey, dude, remember the simple thing. Do this. Check that. Pull this. Tighten that. I mean, you know?
And little things, you know, ways to do stuff. You know, I'm still learning straight axle suspension. I know enough to get me in trouble. but I'm going to need it. I'm going to need that information on the 32. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to, you know, when you're talking to people that have knowledge, keep your ears open. Yeah. You might learn something. And last night's phone conversation, none of it was like mind-blowing, like information that I shouldn't have known. Mm-hmm. But it was just stuff that, oh, that's too easy. I can't, you know, it can't be that. Well, he's like, I don't know how many times they come in, and that's exactly what it is.
Right.
You know, and certain stuff that I knew, but alternative ways to accomplish it. You know, the crossover bar, the one in the back, mm-hmm. goes up at an angle. And where his alternator is placed, he can't move the steering box up any because the alternator's there. So it would, you know, turn into that snowball effect that we've talked right. about.
Yeah.
You know, which it needs a shorter belt on it because it's pretty much as far out as you can move it. So he's going to put a shorter belt on it, and that'll help give a little bit more clearance, but not enough that you can move it up enough to probably make it flat. And Randy's like, well, check and see if it's an aftermarket Pittman arm. If it's straight through, mm-hmm. flip the ball joint over and throw it on the top, you know. And maybe that's too much, or, you know, maybe it's just right. Mm-hmm. You know, tweak your Pittman arm a little bit. Right. You know, maybe it needs a drop Pittman arm. Maybe, you know, there's more ways than one to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. And so, shout out. I appreciate you giving me a call and sharing the knowledge. And
he's come in clutch a couple times.
Yes,
now.
He has. you know, and the support of everybody. I mean, I've gotten messages, not just from him, but I've gotten messages on the steering because we've mm-hmm. talked about it a bunch because it's, I mean, like me and Dad were talking this morning, it's kind of the one thing that's left. Like,
right.
You know, all of the little nitpick stuff he's kind of been picking at, and mm-hmm. the steering is still the one thing that's, and it's, I mean, it's drivable, and, you know, if we don't get a chance to look at it, which while y'all are listening, if you listen to this when it gets uploaded tomorrow night, we will not be in the state of Florida. So, but if we don't get a chance to look at it before the gathering on Saturday and our mm-hmm. cruise on Sunday, he can drive it.
Right.
We're just trying to make it better at this point.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of the car stuff. I mean, that's the 54. It's good enough. I can go cruise it. Is there stuff I'd like to do to it? Yes. Is there stuff that would make it better?
Yes. Oh, yes.
I mean,
is there stuff that we can do to it so I would be able to drive it successfully? Yes.
Yeah. And, but that's a little bigger thing.
Yeah.
But, bigger, you know, I was also talking to Randy about his girlfriend has a 53 Chevy, mm-hmm. which has the coolest roof paint ever, by the way.
Yes, it does.
shout out to her. And her dad painted that. So that
heck
was awesome.
Yeah.
But she was struggling with carburetor issues. Sounds familiar. 54 will start and run when it's warm. The first start or after it sat there for a couple of days,
it's going to give you pain.
You better leave there. You better leave early in the morning because you're going to be out there. Because, you know, good thing is it's got an Optima battery in it. It will crank and crank and crank and crank. But, you know, it takes some want to get it to fire.
Yeah.
But, you know, they swapped her 53 over to, I mean, there's a lot of stuff done to that car that I would like to do to ours. But the one thing that we talked about last night was the fuel injection. He put a single barrel fuel injection, a sniper unit on it, and walk out, hit the key, starts up every time.
Right.
You know.
Now, in hers, I don't know if you went into this much detail with them. Does she still have the?
She has a 235 and a 3 and a tree.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it still has a 300. I think so. I think that's what he said.
Yeah.
But yeah, it has a 55, if I'm remembering correctly, rear end.
Okay.
But yeah, it's pretty much, I mean, it does have Mustang 2 front suspension.
So basically, like what we, after the 32 is done and we hard brake the 54, that's
a lot of where we're going at. Yeah. Her car would be kind of the direction.
Yeah.
But beautiful survivor paint with a badass roof.
Yes.
that is
super clean when you showed me the picture of her roof.
Yes.
Like, that is super clean. And then I'm, like, also sitting here like, oh, well, if you gave me Michelangelo, I feel like I would still just want him to have a white top, just because of the way the personality he had. I'm talking like it's a person, but the personality he has, he's always going to have a white roof. Now the inside,
that's one thing I need to creep on their Facebook or Instagram. Hopefully there's pictures of the interior of that truck or inside of that car, because Randy also told me that it has a surfboard roof that matches the top paint, so that's cool. And, you know, but that's the thing, is it's not a sick custom. It's not, I mean, that roof is custom, but, you know, it's tastefully done. It's not overdone, and she drives it, so that's awesome. You know, some of these, seen a couple cars cruising today on my way up, ended up going to the other end of our county and driving up the main road. I'm like, man, how's a car going? Of course, going the other way, and I can't never catch them, you know, at a red light to scream over, hey, listen to the podcast. But, you know, hopefully at one point in time that'll get a little easier for us. And you know, I look forward to seeing where we can go with this. I mean, just the outreach and the outpour of support that we've had so far. I mean, there's big things possible here. And I mean, I want to talk to, not to take a podcast that no longer exists, but I want to talk to the hometown Hot Rodder guys. You know, not only that other podcast, but also, you know, the guys that have been doing this, you know, the guys that are willing to share knowledge, because there's still some of us, and I know, you know, the car quote unquote culture or scene or whatever, you know, it goes through changes. You know, it was, you know, you went through 50s and 60s where it was, you know, Model A's and Model T's, guys coming back from the war and building what they could afford, you know, real minimalistic cars. And then 50s and 60s, you kind of got to the boats, you know, cars got bigger.
a lot bigger.
And then I think it was 73 where, you know, safety. So then they started putting, you know, bumpers that stuck 3 foot out in front of a car, you know, and Novas. That's the biggest. Oh, man. It's a beautiful car. And then they stick a bumper halfway to the next block, you know. But, and then, you know, the C10s got big. Square bodies got big. Now it's OBSs. You know, there's so many avenues, and yeah, we stay in the you know, pre-65, you know, kind of those era of cars, but a badass mini truck, I'll check it out.
Right.
You know, you got the 64 Impala on some Dayton spokes and you're three wheeling in. I'm going to go over and check out your stuff. I mean, right. Because some of the work on them cars is
crazy,
you know, and they're driving them. Yeah. Like, you know, you see some of these cars and it's like you're looking around for a trailer and nah, I drove it here.
Yep.
You know, I remember one at the Groundhog Gala. It didn't have a roof on it. Like, they cut the roof off. Like, it wasn't a convertible. It was a gone. It was a roadster. And, I mean, badass interior. I mean, leather interior. You know, diamond stitching. I mean, beautiful. Painted gold-plated engine parts. I'm like, man. And the guy's like, yeah, we drove it from, where do they come from? Lauderdale or somewhere?
Somewhere, like a good way. A
drive.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, like, you towed it here? No, we drove them. And I'm like, hell yeah. Like, that's what it's all about is, you know, and they're dumping, I mean, the money in them cars, they're dumping a lot of money in them cars, but they're getting out and enjoying them. And that's what, I don't care if it's a rusty, this car doesn't exist anymore, but it used to. You know, the rusty $500 car that you pulled out and you made it run enough that you could go cruise with your friends. Mm-hmm. Or the, I mean, some of these builds, $500,000 builds.
Yeah.
But get out and drive them. Enjoy it. I mean, you spent the money to enjoy the car and do it. I mean,
and I remember a little, granted, I was half asleep for most of the conversation that you had last night, but I do remember y'all talking about, you know, where people do spend an outrageous amount of money sometimes on their vehicles, but it's, I think the word you used was, it's a token of love, because you love the car, you appreciate the car, and, you know, at the end of the day, it's not about what you can get back out of it at the end of it, but how much enjoyment you can get along the process.
Well, and there's reasons that some people, you know, there's reasons that people spend that much money on cars. Mm-hmm. You know, he referenced a build, and I'm not going to go into details of it because I don't know the whole story. But, and you see it on shows too, you know, TV shows that do restorations. And, you know, it was my dad's car, he passed away. Mm-hmm. I just seen a Facebook post. A dad and a son were working. It was like a high school build. Mm-hmm. And they were building him a four-wheel drive K10. And his dad got sick, so the truck got put on hold. And from the pictures he showed of when he got sick, I was like, that truck is, it was far away.
Yeah.
He passed, and him, his brother, and I think it, two other buddies put the truck together, painted, driving, and hauled his dad to the cemetery in it. So they got to take their first ride in the truck together. That's which was awesome. And, you know, if you don't have the ability to build cars and, you know, you have that connection to a car, you know, whether it be it was your dad's car or, you know, you see a lot of guys that, They had a car, family came. Mm-hmm. They had to sacrifice the cool car for the family. Mm-hmm. And it's admirable. I mean, my dad gave up a lot, mm-hmm. and I didn't want for much, if anything. And I appreciate that from him. And there's cars that I don't know if I'll ever be able to afford them, but there's cars that I would like to gift him, mm-hmm. you know, that hold a significant place. I remember driving them. I'm not going as far as finding the car, but, you know, we were watching a YouTube a couple nights ago, and the guy was, I was at Rustra Story, or that TV show, and he was I think it was a milk truck or something, or a old sedan delivery or something of that nature. Doesn't really matter. But, and it was the dad's truck. Like, mm-hmm. they remember this truck and tracked it down. And they spent probably three times as much as the truck was going to be worth when it was done.
Right.
To put it back, to make it look like it was the truck that they remember.
Mm-hmm.
And those vehicles aren't for sale.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be one of the siblings' vehicles or the family vehicle for as long as that car is alive.
Yeah.
You know, they're not, we used to have a saying in drag racing, you know, there's one way to have a small fortune in drag racing. Mm-hmm. You have to start with a big one.
Yeah.
You know, building cars of that caliber, unless you're the shop and somebody is paying you that money to build the car,
right?
You're not going to get rich building hot rods.
Yeah.
You know, and me and Randy talked about this, you know, I would love to build cars. Mm. I don't want to build cars for people.
No.
Like, I want to build them for me, and then I'll sell them.
Yeah.
But I struggle with, and he brought it up, you know, he said a lot of people, if they do this for a living, don't want to work on their own stuff. Just like I said in the live,
mm-hmm.
you know, mechanics cars are usually not the cars you want to buy because right. they're the last ones to get worked on. The same with, you know, hot rod builders. Mm-hmm. If it's a one man shop, you're doing all the work, you're probably not going to have a cool car.
Nope.
Now, if you have a shop and you can have other people build you a cool car while you're building cool cars for other people, that works out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even Randy said last night, he said, you know, if someone comes to him, not his actual shop, but his shop, mm-hmm. Gasser Garage, and wants him to do a project, there can't be a time limit.
Right.
Because he goes out and works on stuff when he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't feel like working on it, it doesn't get worked on.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be me. But I would feel bad.
Right.
You know, if I didn't go put in 8 hours on somebody's car, mm-hmm. I would feel bad if they were paying me to build their car.
Well, and in the same sense too, but it's, I feel like when you are building, like obviously there are some people that are made to build cars for other people, and that is awesome. But I feel like with you specifically, it would be such a hindrance on the creativity of whatever you are building on.
Yeah, you'd have to only build car, or I would have to build cars only for people that liked what I liked.
Yes.
Like, it would be, okay, you want this? All right, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've talked to, there's a couple guys local to us that own shops, and the one thing that they all say is, you know, you have a guy come in and he's gung-ho, he wants you to build them a car your way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, halfway through the build, it's no longer your way.
Yeah.
They want to change it. Oh, well, can we do this? Well, we can, but now we have to back up
mm-hmm.
4 months of what I've been doing to make that work.
Right.
Well, I already paid you for that. Well, yeah, but now we're going a different, we made a right-hand turn.
Mm-hmm.
And especially on, you know, especially ridiculously painted cars. If you do crazy graphics, whether it's a car, whether it's a bike, whether it's everything, you know, you have to find that guy or girl that loves that paint as much as you do.
Right.
You know, and it's not just color. You know, some colors are easier to sell than others. If you have a flat black hot rod, it'll sell.
Yeah.
If it's in primer, it'll sell because they can paint it whatever color they want to paint it.
Right.
Or don't. You know, there's options there. But if you do a color combination, one, people are scared to drive cars because if you get a scratch or a door ding, how do you match something that was completely custom?
Right.
You know, you're driving down the road and the big Bubba truck in front of you kicks up a rock and sends it across your hood.
Yeah.
Well, now you have two options. Repaint the whole truck or car or whatever it is, or take the hood off. Some trucks don't look good with no hoods. You know, some cars don't, you know.
Depends on what you have under it, too.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I'm a big no hood guy. But on certain cars, like the 54 will always have a hood on it.
Yeah.
But we talked to 210 Dragon, and he drives around with his hood off because he likes the look of it.
Yeah.
Which, he has a cool motor, so
he has to show it off a little bit, too.
Yeah. You know, they're... Everyone has their likes and dislikes. Doesn't make my like better. It's just what I like.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to. I mean, I joke that, you know, you should take your hood off. But it's your truck.
Right.
You know, if you want to do a fendered Model A, not my gimmick, but go for it. Not saying that I haven't seen fendered trucks lately that have been blowing my mind. But and combinations, because it used to be if you ran fenders, you ran side skirt or side panels and a hood. See one the other day, it was fendered front and rear fenders, no hood, no side panels,
and a
big old blower.
Oh, well, there you go.
But, you know, like, and, but there's thousands of ways to build the same car. You know, you got chop, channel, you know what those are, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I know you know channel because the 32 is channeled.
Yeah.
But sectioned?
I believe so.
That's where they take the middle of the body?
Right.
So if you chop a car, sometimes the door line is tall and the window is short. So to eliminate that, you take a little bit less chop and you take section out of the door or whole body to get it to be proportionate.
So
like at Turkey, remember the C10? It was a square body C10, but it was chopped, like had like a $200 chop. Like real, real low windows.
Yes.
And it just looks funny because the doors on a square body C10 are massive.
Yes.
That, you know, there's a lot of height there.
And it was like one of those things, like you could do a quick glance like, oh, okay, that's chopped. Oh, wait, something's off about it. Now, silly question, because, you know, I'm full of them. But I'm going to do a name drop here. But I remember there was a KC Customs YouTube channel or YouTube that we had watched of him working on a Mustang because he was taking the body off of this Mustang and putting it on this one. And of course it didn't match up correctly. So he does what he does best, but he cut it down long ways. Is there any kind of specific, I don't even know.
Silly. No.
Silly.
No.
Craziness.
Which he ended up, after he chopped it in half, he ended up not really needing to chop it in half. Because it pretty much, he widened it and then put it on there and then basically cut all of the widen out.
Yeah.
you know, but, and also that's another thing on some chops, Dodge cabs are like 30, or late 30s, early 40s Dodge cabs, Model A sedans, you have to add metal because the A pillar or the A, B, and C pillars don't line up anymore.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, you're at a little bit of an angle and then you chop. Well, if the back pillar is still in the same place, your pillars don't. So you have to lengthen the roof to get it. So some chops are straightforward. Most chops aren't. But every chop or every body modification has the BS that comes with it.
Right.
You know, if you chop a truck, you might have to lengthen the roof or widen the roof or, you know, tweak the A pillars or B pillars, depending on what way, the way the cab is shaped. Doing a car, you know, you either have to chop the rear window and make it smaller, but then you can't see out of it. So you lay it, you know, you lay it down, but you still got to get rid of metal somewhere.
Right.
So you have to build new sail panels. That's why, if you remember the chopped Merc that was at the gathering.
Yes.
The back of his roof didn't really look like the stock one.
No.
It was like severely laid.
Yes.
That was to accomplish that drastic of a chop.
And that was very well done. Because you, I mean, one, it was hard for me. Granted, they were, you know, across the yard from each other, first of all. But also, it was such a smooth transit. Yeah. Like, you couldn't tell what it used to be because of how well that was done. And, like, looking at the back and how just smooth everything just fell into place. Like, it had the right body lines to make it look like, okay, well, I mean, I know that a car wouldn't roll off the showroom floor with a 4-inch tall a windshield, but like that was made like that.
Yeah. And that's another thing. And I forget who I was talking to about it, but we were talking about, you know, you do little things, but you do them so well that if the stock car's not sitting next to it,
can't tell.
You're like, something's off. And, you know, guys, you know, if they're Nova nuts or Chevelle, you know, they're just freaks of a certain car.
Yeah.
They'll pick out. But if they're not diehard bleached, that's the only car it exists, they may be able to tell something's off.
Right.
But they won't know what. And that gets people talking. Because, you know, I mean, door handles, there's so many different subtle, but drastic, you know, it looks subtle, but you didn't see the behind the scenes of the 300 hours of, you know, trying to make that door skin from a Sunfire fit on, you know. Because cars, they, you know, they all have different shapes.
Right.
I mean, like that guy that was doing rust repair on, I think it was a Colorado, and he just cut the fender, like cut a square out of the fender and went and lined it up with, and I think he ended up using Silverado, and he cut the same square out, welded it in, and after it was painted, you couldn't tell it.
Yeah.
But the whole bottom of the cab was rotted, and he couldn't find a bit. Or no, it was Corey Wheat.
Was it Corey Wheat?
Well, yeah. And he bought that car at Pigeon Forge, and he had went and found something else that had the same, you know, radius as same wheel well radius.
And then I think, well, not to that drastic, but I know the other guy, Puddin. He's such a goofy guy. I love it. He had had one of his buddies come over or whatever, because he was amazing at body work. And it was, he was working on, I think it was, I can't remember which truck it was, but like the whole back portion of the truck bed on the outside behind the tire, he had a cut. And when he was all said and done with, other than it not being painted yet, you couldn't that
was
tell.
That was the long bed to short bed conversion. And I learned something in that video, because instead of cutting a section out of the floor, he cut the floor at the back.
Yep.
So he could roll it over. So when you looked in the bed, it looked like a short bed floor, because you didn't see the stitch line.
Yeah.
Because the stitch line was, you know, hidden by the by the tailgate.
Right.
And it's small stuff like that that, you know, I never would have thought, you know, that was just a, it, when you do something, it was like, that was just the cost of doing a short bed conversion is you're going to have a seam there. You can get the outside because it's smooth, but the inside has the ripples.
Yeah.
And, you know, figuring it out. But again, that goes back to, if we pay attention, you know, everyone, you can learn something. And, you know, I think he found that on a YouTube. You know, here's this guy that's been, I mean, he's mini truck wise, he's famous, famous. And, you know, found it on a YouTube.
Yeah.
This guy's been chopping trucks since I had my S10, which was 06, you know. And so, but he learned, you know, learned from other people that do what we do. And you can, don't get me wrong, you can go haywire real quick too. If you go on a deep dive, you can find 18 ways to accomplish the same thing and not know which one to go with. But at the end of the day, you know, everyone can contribute. Some is a nicer way, some is easier. Sometimes the easy way looks like crap, but you know, it gets done. And if it's your truck and you're fine with the seam in the bed, you know,
it's only got to please you anyway.
You know, and the short bed conversion thing is kind of slowed down, you know, because long beds are kind of becoming, sort of cool.
Well, and I've seen, I mean, little bits here and there, because when I scroll through Facebook, it's, you know, how they have the little blurb from the marketplace of things you might like, you know, because now all of them are trucks and cars on mine, even though I don't scroll through it like you do. But I'm seeing more long beds pop up. And some of them don't look bad. I still think maybe it's because you've drilled into me that short beds are
no long, no wrong beds.
I still feel like something looks off about them because they are so long. And I don't know. But some of them are very well done. Some of them are very clean. And it's like, okay, yeah, I can appreciate that. I see why people would want to buy that.
Well, I mean, it kind of seems, you know, as trends happen and, you know, the mini trucks, full-size trucks, stuff like that, you know, everyone, the short beds were so sought after that they got bought up.
Yeah.
So the next best thing, and also short beds, the price range. I mean, this is back in the good old days of C10 buying. You know, you could buy a short wheelbase C10 that was nice for $8,000-$9,000. You could buy a long, you could buy the same quality of a long bed for $5,000.
All right.
You know, so, and the conversion wasn't, it didn't make up the difference. I mean, yes, still you have, it was still a long bed. It doesn't matter what you do. It's, you know, but, so people jumped on that and then companies came out because they see that, you know, oh, okay, this is what they're doing. So companies started selling conversions. You know, you lay this template on your frame and cut here, weld there, and call it a day. And, you know, then all of a sudden it was like, Well, instead of putting, you know, the $3,000 or $4,000 into shortening a long bed, I can put $3,000 or $4,000 in wheels, tires, mm-hmm. you know.
Motor,
training. Interior, you know, making it cool. Well, right. Okay, well, that long bed laying on the ground don't look bad. That long bed jacked up in the air don't look bad.
Yeah.
You know, but in my opinion, they don't look good stock.
Yeah.
But there are benefits of a long bed. Mm. You know, a Harley will fit in the back of a 63 to 66 long bed C10.
But we would never tow.
Now, if you see my bike on a trailer, somebody stole it.
Yep.
But, you know, it. Unless you have a really cool C10 and your bike matches.
I mean, I was going to say, if your bike matches, then I don't know how many times we've seen that combination of the bike matches the truck. So guess where the bike is at a car show?
It's in a lot of times, I mean, you know, for us, we've talked about this. I'm going to have to buy a 2-car trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of us is driving a car, or one of us doesn't get to have their car at a show.
Yeah.
You know, so if you have a cool bike and you want to show it off,
mm-hmm.
you either got to ride it and your wife or husband has to drive the truck, mm-hmm. or we can load it up and go as a family.
Yeah.
And preferably, I would like to go as a family. You know, shout out Kelly Bromagen saying that his next build is going to be a full size, you know, because he's got Bankrupt, which is a cool little truck. But on show day, he has to choose who gets to ride with him.
Yeah.
The wife and the kids stay home, or the kids and the wife drives the mom mobile behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to get out and enjoy it with the family because that's what this is all about.
Because that's, and I feel like, too, I mean, yeah, there are going to be times where, you know, in a family situation, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm taking the kids, or yeah, I'm taking the wife, whatever. But for everybody to experience, like, what we experience when we drive Michelangelo, what your mom and dad experience when they drive, have they named their truck yet?
Yes, but I don't remember the name.
I'm sorry.
I think it's Betsy.
I don't know.
I think so.
They didn't tell me, so I don't know. You got to tell me. But, like, when people, the thumbs up, the whipping around at a car show because we're pulling in and they take a picture, which I will never forget that. But, like, for the entire family to experience that at the same time, or, you know, pulling up to that show, hey, everybody's looking at us. It's like, okay, well, now the whole family is experiencing that at the same time. And that's just, that gives
you, well, and also when you get to the show, I mean, the little kids walking around, you know, I was that little kid, mm-hmm. was looking at cars like one day.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, you got a model car or a Hot Wheel or Matchbox or whatever, mm-hmm. and you have the car and you're going to build it one day, or you're going to have it one day, you know, mm-hmm. that's what. Like, I love watching kids walk around a car show. Like, that just, it makes my day. Yeah. My dad, little kid come up to him at the swap meet, and he put him in the truck. Fits in there way better than dad does. But, you know, and problem. That.
He couldn't see out the windshield.
Details. But that was, you know, that's what it's all about, is carrying on. I mean, the podcast originally was to gap, you know, my mom and dad's generation to our generation.
Mm-hmm.
But really and truthfully, a lot of people in our generation have the next generation. So
Yep. We're
trying to carry it on. I mean, we're younger generation, but there's a younger generation, you know, and we're trying to keep it alive so the next generation can do it. And hopefully they figure out that big wheels and rubber band tires on a four-wheel drive truck isn't cool. But if that's, you know, that's what it is. But I also will say that, you know, these non-sanctioned after hours takeover stuff needs to stop. You're seeing a lot of shows that are starting to post about it, and you know, it's fine to get together, but you got to be respectful, because a lot of these things, you know, the burnouts and the donuts in the street, and I think they call them takeovers or whatever, where they shut down a road, and you know, it's not going to take long before shows have to say no more.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just those style of trucks that are doing it. I mean, how many videos have you seen a Mustang running into a crowd leaving a car show?
So many.
Or a cruising or whatever, you know. So it's cars, trucks, it's all of them.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, race events. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys that are going out, and I'm not saying that I've never driven spirited on a numbered road, but, you know, if you, especially at a race event, you know, you're at the track, get your racing in.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that that's an unpopular opinion to some people, you know, cause it is what it is. And like I said, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, I've never drive over the post speed. I mean, we joke like we always drive the post speed limit, but you know, that's not always the case, but it has gotten, LST is the latest, you know, they're talking about not doing the show. Jeez. Because the show ends for the day, and these kids go meet in a parking lot, and the cops get called.
Yeah.
Well, the cops, wherever you're at, know why you're there.
Yeah.
You know, LST, you know, Turkey Rod Run, Pigeon Forge, you know, the cops will turn a blind eye.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You got to be respectful.
If you see retardedness going on and it's not safe, they're going to shut it down.
Right.
And then they're going to look at the show and go, hey, you invited these people.
Yeah.
Now it's going down back to the promoter, which he's at his hotel room getting ready to come back the next morning to put on a good show.
Yeah.
He has nothing to do with it, but it's guilty by association.
Yeah.
You know, and that was one of the things that when we talked about doing a cruise, that was one thing that really stuck in my head, was I was like, you know, if it gets ridiculous, I'm nipping it in the butt. Not because I don't want to cruise with these people, but I can't answer for the guy that's, you know, yeah, I know him, but I can't answer for them.
Right.
And a lot of these shows are, I mean, they're putting out press statements or media statements saying, we don't condone this.
Yeah.
But it's not enough. Because the cops are still looking at them, and counties are saying, hey, you can't come back next year. You know, this has gotten out of hand, and we can't have you in our city.
And I feel like, you know, I mean, granted, I know just from me personally, from what I've seen, like, we've gone to Gators, and we've gone here, and we've gone there, and we've gone to FL2K, and all these places, and it's like, yeah, your adrenaline gets pumping and everything like that, but there's always a time and place for everything. Just like for Turkey Rod Run, when you're leaving Turkey Rod Run nights, the cops basically give you that first lane, do your little burnout, you know, rev your engine a little bit because there's a huge crowd there. It's respectfully done, and then you go on about your day and you have a good time for the rest of the show. Or like with SEMA,
yeah,
how they shut down half the road so you can do your little burnout. You can, you know, go on the cruise, whatever. be part of it and get that little angst that you have that feeling. And there's always a time and a place for it. But if you're going up to your mom and pop's barbecue and ice cream joint, show a little bit of respect. So that way you're always welcome back.
And that's another thing, you know, these, especially like you just said, with the mom and pop or any restaurant, really, we want them to welcome.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to bring business. Mm-hmm. You know, it may be 5 cars, which is, you know, 8 to 10 people. It may be 20 cars with 30 to 40 people.
Yeah.
But they want us to come because it's bringing them business. But if you act like a jack wagon, they don't want you there.
Yeah.
Because they also have other customers. Cities, they don't want you acting like a jack wagon because there's still people that live in the city.
Right.
You know, it's, and especially shutting stuff down, impeding traffic, you know, it, there's so many. And if you thought about it as if you lived in that city, it wouldn't happen. You know, they're not doing it, the takeovers and the this, and, you know, and even here in Florida, the Florida truck meet, it's now moved to 3 different locations. They did it in Daytona. No, you can't do it here. They moved to Miami. 1 year. They made it 1 year before Miami, which they can't drive in Miami.
Yeah.
They drive like fools. And they said, no. You know, we're bringing a lot of people, and we want people to accept our hobby. Mm-hmm. Give them a reason to respect it. Don't make a fool, because a lot of times it's not you that you hurt.
Yeah.
It's the guy that hasn't done nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, he hasn't ripped his train horn for 4 miles on A1A. He is, you know, doing the speed limit. He's not, you know, doing burnouts, and people aren't hanging out the windows, and, you know, it's the guy that is trying to obey and trying to put a good face. That's basically what it is put your best face forward.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that gets yelled at because his truck looks like that guy's truck, or, oh, well, your hot rod has big tires in the back. That must mean that you do burnouts. Yeah. Well, maybe, but maybe not.
And I mean, just you mentioning this to me, I remember, we watch a lot of YouTube, but we had watched something where a dad and his son had just finished his son's car,
the Hopper.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to go to the first car show that came up, and it was a more of a classic car show. And there were people there at the entrance saying, no, you need to turn around and go back home. You're not welcome here.
Well, they'd let him be in the show. They wouldn't let him do the cruise. It was old time.
Oh, okay. I'm it glad you old time. Remember.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about. That was old town down in Kissimmee. Friday night, I believe, is muscle cars, and Saturday night is classic cars. And it's a show, and then they do a cruise through the brick streets of Old Town.
Yeah.
And, you know, it come time to do the cruise, and here we go. Well, as they were pulling up to the cruise, it was a lowrider club, and the guy had, before the cruise, had said, hey, put your stuff to where you're not going to have to adjust it, trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Well, one of the guys seen a car get adjusted. Well, you can't have hydraulics. Well, what about the guy in the bags? Well, now it's a thing. Mm-hmm. Because some guy with hydraulics probably hopped, and he drug his bumper, And maybe it ripped his bumper off. Maybe it ruined the car.
Yeah.
Maybe it scraped the ground. Maybe it did this. Maybe, you know, there's so many different things that it could have done. He might have hopped onto somebody.
Yeah.
You know, with, and the guy was like, absolutely no hydraulics. Mm-hmm. And the dad and his son was there, you know, but the dad was fighting, like, which I understand why he was fighting.
Yeah.
But some people would watch that video and go, see, this is just the car community that's, you know, getting in their feelings. Well, they built the car. They want to enjoy the car.
Right.
They're not able to enjoy the car. So I understand the dad's frustration, but you cruised with your son there.
Yeah.
You're going to cruise home with him.
Yeah.
Like, take the L and not get the sheriff's involved, because the sheriff's got involved. This got involved. You know, it turned into a whole big thing, and it didn't need to.
Right. And I guess, but, like, the biggest thing that I got from that was, you know, who did what before they even got there last year, the year before, whatever, that made that such a strict rule. Like, obviously, yes, they were trying to obey and be as respectful as possible, which just shows that there are people out there that can be respectful and, okay, adjust, and that's it. We're going on the cruise. But what happened beforehand to make it such a strict rule? Like, we're all here to enjoy.
But right there is some, it wasn't the kid.
Yeah.
It was just a, car that looked like his, right, or had the same equipment he had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times does, you know, there's a truck that runs around our, you know, I thought I had the only one, but there's a truck that runs around our hometown that looks like mine. He has a really loud train horn.
Yes.
And I don't know how many times people have seen me and been like, you don't need to do that. Do what? The train horn. I don't have a train horn. My horn's weak.
And what's also trippy about your truck is, depending on the lighting, the color.
Green, black, gold.
So, like, I went to go pick up dinner tonight, and I had to do a double take because because in some lighting, I don't know why, but the truck does look slightly brown to me in some certain lightings. And there was a... I wouldn't say, obviously not as lifted as yours, but I had to do a double take on this truck because I'm like, that's my husband's color. Because, but like,
there's a black, there's a truck that it is black, but it's on black wheels and it has a ranch hand, and I have parked next to him. It is, I mean, it's as close as you can get it.
Yeah.
My dad actually called me one day on lunch and was like, hey, are you coming to lunch? And I was like, I'm not there. And I called Chris and was like, yo, is my truck in the parking lot? Like, somebody steal my truck? Because they do look similar.
Mm-hmm.
But to non-car people,
they're the exact same.
It could be a silver. No, it could be a Silverado that's lifted.
Yeah.
You know, it could be the neighbor's truck with a dually that's a Ford.
Which, now that I'm so engulfed in the car.
You can pick them out.
Well, it's... And I shouldn't be this way, but I am to a certain degree. Like, when I worked where I was before, and I would talk to, I mean, it was an office full of women, but I would sit there and talk to them, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, did you see that black car? Well, what make was it? I don't know. Well, was it a Nissan? Was it a Mazda? Was it this? Was it that? I don't know. It was a black car.
Yeah.
Okay, did it have four doors or two?
But that's the thing is people that aren't in this can't tell the difference between a Mustang and a Chevelle.
Yeah.
They just see it's a black muscle car.
Yeah.
They know what a muscle car is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's an old truck.
Yeah.
Well, and what old truck, you know?
Before all of this started, before you helped me with all of this, Chargers and Challengers, I would get the two of them mixed up all the time. I wouldn't know which one was which. I'd call it Challenger or Charger, and Charger or Challenger, and then...
Charger got photos.
I didn't know that before you. Now I can tell them apart.
Right.
But, like, I remember what it's like with certain vehicles, I guess you can say.
But then again, this is kind of also, I mean, the 2024 Mustang and the 2024 Camaro do look a lot alike.
Yeah.
So now it's, now not only is non-car people getting confused, but the manufacturers have started, I mean, a Titan looks like a Dodge.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Chevy and GMC look identical because they're the same truck, a different grill. But like Cadillac, you know, Cadillac makes a Chevrolet, or Chevrolet, every car Chevrolet makes, Cadillac makes a version of it.
Yeah.
I think it's, all of them, but most of them.
I think it was all. I don't know the name of the Cadillac version of it, but I saw it and I was like, oh, that's nice. It's a little, it looks a little bit more square, but I thought it was a Tahoe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a Tahoe and an Escalade. I mean, back.
Thank you.
Back in, well, Tahoe looks like an Escalade and then the XL looks like a Suburban. But, you know, back when I first got into like my quote unquote mini truck days, that was a swap. Everybody with a full-size Chevrolet had a Cadillac front end. You know, S10s, you swapped Envoys front ends on them because they were better looking.
Yeah.
You know, you had a Cadillac truck. You know, that because the parts were interchangeable.
Right.
Caden was talking about doing a Lexus swap on his Toyota because it's the same truck.
Right.
You know, unless you know a 32 Ford, you don't know that it's not a Chevrolet. It's not a, you know.
Yeah.
Especially when a lot of old Fords have Chevy motors in them now.
Yeah.
But again, to a non-car person, they couldn't look at a motor and go, well, that's a Ford motor because they put the distributor in the wrong spot.
You help me decipher
it's a
that.
Chevy motor because they put the distributor in the back, you know.
Small
but
small block, big block.
Hemis, you know, like, and Hemis are one of the easiest motors to identify. But to a non-car person, they don't know the difference. So we have to do the best we can to show that we're trying to be the best we can be. Because if not, I mean, it's just like drag strips. It's just like everything. You know, if we don't take care of it, it's going to go away.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for a lot of people, I mean, cars, old cars will still be around. But anything organized to get people together is going to get squashed. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to your county or... a good, for instance, we had a car show that was in downtown and there was always cars there. It was always a good turnout. Well, then guys started showing up with race cars and they would unload them in the parking lot, which is cool, whatever. And they'd cackle over, fine. Well, then instead of going straight back to the trailer, they'd take it out on the main road. And maybe blip it or rev it up or whatever. Well, it's an untagged, unregistered vehicle, and it's loud. You're drawing attention. Don't break two laws at the same time. Like, don't draw attention to negativity, or else that car show no longer exists.
Yeah,
because he went to the city of Bushnell and said, "Hey, you know, we're doing this car show," and they're like, "Where? Oh, where we always do it." Nah.
Not today.
Because the last time y'all came, the cops were shooing people off of the main road and y'all were being loud and we had complaints and this and that. Yeah. You know, these places that we go, people live there. If you don't show them respect, they don't want you there.
Right.
So it's fine to, you know, get out. If, you know, if you're parked in a parking lot and sound is your thing, turn it up for a couple minutes. But don't sit there for hours.
Right.
you know, if you're at a car show and you just got new exhaust, let them hear it.
Yeah.
But don't do it for hours.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta, like, I don't know if you noticed at Turkey Nights, they had a couple cackle fests. Mm-hmm. And the guy would pull up, and he'd pull up to clear the cars next to him. And he'd let the zoomies and the, you know, the blower sing for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he'd back it back in the spot, shut the car off. It wasn't the next guy pulled out and did it again. It was, all right, that was enough.
Yeah.
And 35, 45 minutes later, mm-hmm. hey, you got a blower and zoomies. That's pull out here and do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you have to work with, because if not, we're going to lose it. Mm-hmm. We're going to lose places to go. You see it with drag strips. You see it with all racetracks, really. You know, and unfortunately, where we live, people are moving here every day.
Yeah.
You know, these drag strips that are in the middle of nowhere.
No, not.
Are, well, I mean, you know, houses move closer.
Mm-hmm.
And logistically speaking, there needs to be a warehouse there. And they're willing to pay for it. Mm-hmm. You can't be mad at the track.
Right.
Because they've been threatened to get shut down. So before I get shut down, let me sell it. You know, Bradenton Motorsports Park and the Freedom Factory. Mm-hmm. It's in the middle of nowhere. It used to be in downtown Bradenton. They moved the track out there to be away from everybody.
Yeah.
It was outside of the growth line. There was never supposed to be houses there. Well, there's now a subdivision that's getting built right there.
Yeah.
And the realtors are going to make the people sign, like, hey, the racetrack was here before you. But how long before, I don't know how many houses are there, but how long before you got 2,000 people going, shut it down?
Yeah. And, I mean, especially in the home buying process, you know, we just went through it less than a year ago. I don't remember what we signed. Like, how many of these people are just going to sign saying, okay, my realtor, my mortgage officer, whoever told me to sign this paper, I didn't know what I was signing. I didn't know that I was agreeing to let a you know, the Freedom Factory or Bradenton run till 10, 11 o'clock at night on Fridays and Saturdays for this amount of time and da 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 da. The only time that it's going to work is if that entire community is all car people.
Which they did. I think the last update was the developer said that he was going to do like short-term rentals.
Okay.
And put a wall up.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't going to stop the sound completely, but it will make it a little bit better.
Right.
And with the short-term rentals, it'll be, hopefully, the racers.
Mm-hmm.
So a racer don't mind listening to it because they're not going to be there. They're going to be at the track.
Yeah.
But we have to work together to make it awesome, because if we don't work together, we're going to lose it.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff has transpired legislation wise and, you know, you had the RPM Act and the deletes and a lot of people paid fines for the diesels, and
just for it to, I mean, didn't it essentially go away? Like, all these people paid all these fines?
The EPA every, I think it's 5 years, comes out with like a new like list of stuff that they're going to go after.
Mm.
And it got dropped off the list. I mean, they still don't want you to do it.
Right.
It's still a thing, but they're not focused on it anymore, which is good for me with a deleted truck, but allegedly. But there's so many, and just that, you know, that was, you can have clean delete tunes,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of the delete tune. Yeah, my tunes are pretty clean.
And you have an eco.
I do.
You have an eco tune.
I drive around in it. But, you know, it's a lot of the reason that the deletes got, you know, blown out of proportion was dirty tunes. Mm-hmm. You know, they would delete the truck and then they would pour as much fuel as they could possibly get in it because it was cool to roll coal.
Right.
Well, I mean, my truck will roll it.
It's cool.
And it is cool. But I don't purposely do it to people on a sidewalk. I don't purposely do it to, and there's two different settings on all five of my tunes. There's one that rolls extra and there's one that's clean.
Yeah.
And I run the clean one. It still rolls if I want it to.
Yeah.
But
you have to purposely do it. It's not something where it's like, oh, you're just easing off this red light. No, you have to like really stick it to.
Yeah. I mean, some of the old diesel tunes, I mean, it'd be sitting at a red light doing, you know, clouds.
Yeah.
Just sitting there at idle. And that's obnoxious. And people see it's obnoxious. They want to do something about it. It draws attention. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're out enjoying your car, no one's going to say anything. But if you're being obnoxious and they have to listen to your, you know, bumping it off the rev limiter for 10 minutes or the two-step or, yeah, it's cool to shoot flames. Cool. All right. Do it a couple of times and then don't do it the rest of the night.
Yeah.
Fine. But when you draw attention, unwanted attention mm-hmm. to you, you have to accept the consequence that it's going to be bad. I mean, there's no way around it. Is if we draw negative attention, all of us are going to be out.
Yeah.
You know, restaurants aren't going to want to let 30 cars in their parking lot to hang out because, yeah, we're coming there to eat, but mm-hmm. we're also going to hang out in your parking lot for an hour when we're not eating.
Yeah.
You know, we're taking up space and they don't mind, but it's everything, you know. Not just cars, it's everything. You know, if you go somewhere and you throw a birthday party or a get-together or whatever, and you leave and it's destroyed, there's trash everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, the next time somebody wants to do that, the county's going to go, no.
Yeah.
Because, and it wasn't even them.
Yeah.
You know, it was just the last time we did this. This happened, and we don't want to do that, so no.
Right.
You know, a good, for instance, was the fall festival. They do a parade, and at that time, my dad was into rail buggies. And they're, you know, VW rail buggies do wheelies pretty easy. So they're popping wheelies down the street. They would put a gap. Mm-hmm. Wop, set it down, throw some candy, wop, throw, you know. The next year, they're like, hey, we want to sign up? And they're like, no. Well, it wasn't them. Right. It was another buggy club that was putting it on the hind end and leaving it there and almost running over the marching band and, you know, kids running out to get candy and, oh, well, you know. Luckily, nothing bad happened, mm-hmm. but before anything bad happens,
right?
Let's stop it.
Yeah.
You know, so, but with that, I mean, there's so many opportunities that we have to enjoy our cars mm-hmm. or trucks or bikes or boats or all of it, you know. It's not just a car thing. It's a everything, you know. Be respectful and we'll be afforded the ability to do the things that we want to do.
Yep.
if you act like a fool, you're going to get treated like a fool. You know, it just is what it is.
Yeah.
And the car hobby, I love the car community. Like I said, we appreciate all of the support that we've been given, the phone calls, the, hey, y'all are doing a good job.
Yes, thank you. We've been getting a few of those.
Yeah, and it's awesome to hear. Yeah. And also those same people that are saying that we're doing a good job, come on.
Yeah. we'll send you a link.
You know, I'll send you a link. Or if you're close, swing by.
Yeah.
You know, we'll...
I hope your dog people, if you swing by, because we got to.
You know, we'll stand around and talk about your car that you drove here in. We'll talk about my 32 that's not done, and you know, and then we'll have a podcast. I mean, this is we're just trying to grow the community, and we're trying to do it right, where we can kind of preserve, for lack of a better way to say it, the old school way of getting out and enjoying your shit.
Yep.
Exactly. You know, a real simple put, I mean, the more people we get connected, the more information that's out there, the cooler our stuff is going to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the opportunities to talk to people that I have talked to has opened up my eyes of different ways of doing stuff, or stuff that, you know, I don't do this for a living.
Yeah.
So the keep it simple, stupid rule kind of went out. You know, I used to wrench for a living. My dad used to wrench for a living. You know, I'm pretty knowledgeable on mechanics itself, but sometimes you need, you know, that little kid to tell you to plug the lights in. You know, to kick it back to that silly idea or that silly question, that it may be silly. Don't get me wrong. Some of them are silly. But it may be the answer to a question that you didn't know you were asking.
Right.
So, well, with that being said,
don't forget to go to Throttle Addict. And if you use the code word Hot Rod, you get to save 15% off. And... on some of their cool apparel, hats, sunglasses. We still have yet to do that.
Flannels,
all kinds of goodies.
Go check them out, guys.
Yeah.
And also, Swap It Fast. Go sign up as a buyer. If you're a vendor, sign up as a vendor. It'll definitely be worth it. It's growing every day. We look forward to seeing how big it can get. Because, again, I mean, that's a giant. They're filling a giant hole in the car. Yeah. Car community. Mm-hmm. So, and get out and drive your shit.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
See ya.
See you on the road. Later.